It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
The Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
We're going to hear from them tonight.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hear from Brother Nick tonight. I think he's going to give us a call and bring us up to date. I had an occasion to go over to his... I sent him a text a while ago that I had gone over to his saloon. Mm-hmm. And then I thought,
saloon?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't spell that right. Salon. It was a salon. I said, I didn't find any booze, so it's got to be a salon, a saloon.
Have to be careful without there, a spell checker.
He brought me up to date a little bit while ago with a text, so it'll be interesting to see what he says that they're going to do and how they're going to make that work over there. So,
how in the world did we get along before spell checkers?
I don't know, but it sure as hell helps me.
And me too, man.
Or if you spell like I do, it doesn't even have a clue what you're trying to get to. So it doesn't give any suggestions at that point.
I sent my grandson one the other day, and I didn't look at the words, and I hit send, and I looked back up, and I says, there's no way in the hell he can understand what that is, because it don't make sense to me, and I wrote it. But my finger gets triple wide or something when it gets down there, and I get the little BBV.
Yeah.
Or PPY or whatever, something.
He got it. He's like, yeah, Grandpa's finally losing it.
Oh, so yeah. Gone. You know. Gone, yeah. But, man, what's going on? I see UJ has got a – I was out there and I see you the other day. Mm-hmm. You've got cars everywhere.
We got cars everywhere. We're loaded up. We got business has been crazy. I mean, it's like this morning they were backed up to Airport Boulevard from the service aisle, trying to get things lined up in the morning, so it's a good problem to have. A lot of people don't have that problem.
Right. Yeah. The people trust you guys, and you all are doing good work, so you got plenty of work.
Yeah, we try. We try and treat people right. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything goes right 100% of the time. But
there's no way.
If it doesn't go right, we try and take care of it.
No, because they would be looking for one of those big poles on a hill to hang you on if everything was perfect.
Exactly. But yeah.
You wouldn't look good with having barbed wire around your head.
No, not at all.
Yep.
But, we move a bunch of cars through there every day. So it's, it keeps me busy, keeps me running. I didn't get stopped today at all.
You look like you didn't stick a fork in you.
I'm pretty well done. You're today. Done. I'm pretty well done today. Of course, I mean, not that the pollen and everything else has anything to do with it.
I was sick as a wet puppy dog last week.
Between
the shots and the steroids and antibiotics, I thought I was taking no dose or something. I had so much. I was like a zombie.
Yeah, I'm fighting trying to be able to breathe tonight myself. So,
but you guys,
it is what it is.
I keep hearing about that new Corvette, man, that mid-engine Corvette.
Yeah, and it's on the way. They are delivering some, in different places. It's all about who got the order in first. Mm. So,
well, didn't y'all have like three of them before New Year's?
Well, no, we didn't have any. We've ordered. We had three pre-sold.
Oh, that's what it was.
So
has the stock increased?
Well, we haven't gotten any of them yet. So
wow.
It's they're building them on demand basically at this point. So it's been a pretty hot commodity. So
but they are producing them though, because we saw where Hendrix bought the number one car,
001. Yeah. We know they've got some of them out because. Two GM guys got fired for racing them in Detroit.
My God. Did they give us any results?
Well, I mean, they're racing each other, so I guess it don't
Corvette
really count.
Won.
Corvette won.
But, hey, who can blame them?
No, I mean.
Sometimes it's worth laying your job on the line.
Yeah, they didn't know they were
I don't
know if they'd feel that way
line.
At this point, but, it'd be awful tempting to do, that's for sure. But GM didn't take too kindly to that, because I don't think the car was supposed to be released to the public view at that point either.
Oh,
so,
okay, okay.
They have the whole bunch of pictures of them being confiscated at that point.
So is this the sixth or seventh main Corvette frame?
It's the
I guess frame is the word. You know what
eighth,
I'm talking
I believe,
about.
Seventh eighth? Or eighth. But the
so how many years does that normally go?
It varies. It really does. You know the typically they're going to go 6 to 7 years between complete rebuilds or total redesign. You know it's they've been building these things since 1953. So
right.
Yeah, so it's it runs longer than that, actually, if you stop and think. But, here lately they've been redesigning them a little more often. The last body started in 14, so.
6 years?
Yeah. So it's time. You know, people want something fresh, something new.
You said one night on this show, I got a memory like an elephant, I guess, on some things, but you said that every single part of that Corvette is new.
Yeah, well, everything but one part. One part carried over, and that's it. So, and that's motor, not counting the motor, but the,
right.
Everything else is new. The only transmission you can get, you can't get a standard shift in it, a true standard shift, because it's going to drive like an automatic, but it's a dual clutch standard, which basically is a true standard transmission with two clutches that engage and disengage and lets it shift more like an automatic.
Do you change gears, though, if you had that? Would you change? Does it have a clutch or you have a button?
You do not have a clutch pedal.
Okay, that's what I
wanted. And you put it in gear just like you would an automatic, and it just kind of sits there and waits for you to take off, and it, as you mash the gas, it takes off and engages the clutch for you. I say let off, and it actually engages it internally in the transmission.
Right, when you accelerate.
Yeah, so it's
in that regard, then, to change gears, you just let off the accelerator a little bit?
It does all that for you.
You don't even have to do that. If you're in first and you want to go to second gear, you just go in second?
You don't touch the shifter.
Huh?
It doesn't.
You drive it like an automatic, I guess.
It's for all intents and purposes, it's automatic.
Well, why would I want to shift it then?
You can shift it. It's paddle shifted and all that kind of stuff. Steering wheel.
Paddle shift on the steering wheel. So you can boom.
So you can play with it if you want to, but the car is going to control most of what it wants to do.
Does it have different drive modes? Sports mode, economy mode?
Well, you have, and they all do now. You have your economy, sports, track mode, touring mode. So it's, you can get pretty aggressive with it. And our current Corvette now has all that. And, it actually changes the exhaust tones by opening trap doors in the exhaust system to change tunes.
Does that help with the power?
It changes power, power band and all that, and
so
gives you a different exhaust note.
So if you're in sports mode, it sounds more threatening?
Well, yeah, it can. And really in a sports mode, usually at idle, it's fairly mild, and as you accelerate up through, it kind of opens the exhaust up and lets it breathe. If you're in track mode, it opens it up a little more at idle.
Now we're changing from the common setting on there, and we change it to a sports mode. Then are we changing any handling characteristics as far as shocks, any of that geometry, and are we changing the fuel and the timing and what have you?
Yeah, it's changing all the parameters of the motor that's controlling the operation of the motor and our power output, because you got to remember we have all of our direct fuel injection that you can ramp the fuel pressure up on it and separately.
Okay.
The adjustable cam timing. There's just a lot
so
of things.
All of that is a variable that can be changed with the computer.
Right. Right, the computer's controlling all that. So
if you're going through those modes, what you were saying is it can put it in a different parameter
to
for fuel and timing and what have you.
shift points on the transmission, you know, just a lot of things, and the shock dampening capabilities. It really does a good job of changing.
It's just a souped up hot rod.
It's a drive around town. It's a track capable car, no doubt. You know, it's even the current car and the next gen, which is coming out. They've actually tested it at some of the same tracks, and the base version of it is very competitive with the hot rod version of what we have now.
Woo!
So we'll see when they come up with a hotter motor.
There you go.
So we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race. And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online. We have Nick with us. Nick, what's going on tonight, buddy?
What's happening? I've been listening to your show. You guys kind of know what you're talking about.
One of us does.
We seen a car one time.
Right.
I got a ride in one once.
Yep. Hey, man, I was talking to you about it being a I said that I had occasion to go over and go through your saloon, which I misspelled a word. I meant salon.
Mobtown proper, yeah. It's a men's hair cutting facility and vintage store.
Okay. Can I get my hair dyed over there and get me some finger waves in it or something?
No hair dyes. Just really cool, hip, you know, high end tights. And I think that this vision of what we're trying to do there is kind of elevate the hair business like a lot of big cities and try to do it in Mobile and, you know, incorporate that vintage store. We may even take that other space and make it a juice bar and a coffee shop as well.
It's a cool little spot. We have our corporate offices over there.
I get my hair cut every 14 days, so does Pete. And we've gone to barber shops and places in Portland and Cuba. And, you know, just we became enamored with the thing, and we feel like we can scale the business and have some fun doing it. So it'll be fun.
Well, that is neat to see that you had to. The forethought to try that and bring it to Mobile. It doesn't appear to be in any other sections of the city.
Yeah, well, Mobile, man, I'm just telling you, I've been bouncing around here for the last 5 years, and, you know, I live in Gulf Shores, but do business up there, and I just feel the whole vibe of it in the last 5 years, just the transition of Dolphin Street, the food scene that's really emerging, and just, you know, the great job that the mayor and even in the city, man, is everybody's, you know, we're moving forward.
Yeah, it is. It's really neat to see that occurring, knowing what the city was before, back in the day when downtown was downtown, before we had all the suburbs and the malls and what have you.
And you remember the cobblestones, don't you?
Oh, yeah, man. I helped lay some of those, you know.
I helped fix them old crank cars.
I know. I helped put some of those cotton bales down there by the river, too, you know, so we could, you know, put some more dirt and slush and stuff on them and build those buildings on them.
Oh, Lord.
That's yeah.
You know, hey, well, I went to school, man. My diploma was, you know, they took a chisel and a hammer and put it in a piece of stone. Give me my, you know, my graduation certificate.
Right on, man.
Well, listen, tell me about all the facilities. Where are you guys at on all your construction?
Well, you know, with daylight savings coming, you know, Sunset Point will come to the forefront because we salute the sunset every night and we ring that bell. And
oh, yes.
I think we're going to start doing that at Ed's as well, so we kind of have both sides of the sunset.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
cool.
And, you know, Penny Pizza Pasta, the right side of the restaurant's done. The left side, for all intents and purposes, are done. We'll start, you know, doing the final touches on the menu in a few weeks, start training, get, you know, recruiting some superstars out there and just you know, introduce some really, really, really killer Italian food to their home market.
Now, will that just be a dinner restaurant, or will that be lunch and dinner?
Five nights a week. We do have our own lounge over there that'll be a separate part of it. You'll be able to sit in the courtyard. You'll be able to sit in a new dining room, the back dining room, just water fountain, you know, just awesome East Coast Italian.
Man. I thought y'all had topped everything and everybody with sunset.
Italian.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought y'all had topped everybody with the Sunset Point, but golly.
Yeah. Sunset Point and the Snapper Throws, we're going on 5.5 years being there.
Sunset Point's been on TV 2 or 3 times. National TV.
Driving and Dives.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years ago.
Right. Unbelievable.
But Annie Pete 13 years ago. Hey, maybe Ed's will be our third time will be the charm. Look, come check it out.
Yep. Well, how's the Rise and Shine Breakfast deal going on, Ed's, on Saturdays
Rise
and Sundays?
Rise and Shine Breakfast Ed's in general is just, I think that the business is just really starting to revitalize itself, and the customers are cool, and you know, we've gotten a little fancier with some of the foods and kept some of the oldies but goldies. But breakfast is doing great, man. People love it.
Good, that is awesome. Yeah. Well, now you're going to get started on the ramp in the Oyster Bar soon.
Yeah. So the Oyster Bar in the next 2 or 3 weeks, Brian Johnson will start taking care of that, and that shouldn't be a long process. We won't even close. They'll just, you know, do what they need to do as far as getting it ready and that bar that they can sit down and then that draft beer and cool things. So we got so many things, balls up in the air, man. We're just lucky and very thankful. Have good people and keep making people happy eating food.
Well, you're doing an awesome job, you and your whole crew, and it's really neat to see all of that stuff change and come around for the better.
Yeah, especially if there's any veterans out there, anybody that's wanting to join a great team. We've got 4 facilities. We'd love to have you come and do a little work with us.
Oh, that would be neat. Yeah, and you'd be interested in interviewing some of the vets. I'll make mention of that Wednesday night then on the scuttlebutt.
You didn't tell them you came and rolled silverware with us one time?
I can do that. Again? Yeah, that's when I got fired, though. You got to do more than two.
The effort is what counted.
Yeah, you got to do more than 2 an hour, though, Claxton. Well, I got to have time, you know, to drink a cool one and, and shoot the breeze.
No, shooting the breeze is what he loves to do.
I've checked out on it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin has been trying to train me for 20 years, so.
Nah, I gave up.
Yep, lost cause. So. Glad to have you on, Nick, and appreciate you guys helping us with the shows. And you're just doing an awesome job over there, and looking forward to being over there. I'll be over there a couple of times before the weekend.
Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bud. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's great place, great people, always good food, so. Doing a lot of neat things. You know, that's one thing we don't talk about enough is the growth mobile is going through.
Oh, yeah.
There's some really good things happening in Mobile between the container port and Airbus and just numerous things.
Well, just the stuff at Brooklyn Field is going to double.
Right.
We thought it was great when Airbus started, but now they're going to double their facility.
And what about that car handling facility down at the port that's coming
in? That's a new innovation there, too. We certainly needed that with the amount of cars that we're producing in the state.
Mm-hmm. Export and import.
Right, to be able – if they're going to do that, I'm sure there's going to be some more containerization involved with that, so that we would get some parts brought in, more parts brought in. But we're probably not knowing what the inventory is and what the inventory contains down at the container port, and the fact that they're doubling the size of that facility.
Right. Yep.
You know, it's well on its way. It is unbelievable. I would hate to sit and count and see how many containers go in and out of that facility every day.
You know, it's amazing, Tom. People who live here really don't realize just how much stuff we have down at the Port of Mobile.
It is extremely surprising, the amount that's down there.
You get on the cruise ship and you'll see it.
That's when I really saw it, when we were coming, back. We'd go out usually at night, but you come in the morning,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When everything is moving down there, and that was very mind-blowing to see all, everything that was going on.
And they're widening the ship channel down the bay.
Oh, well, that's a, what, $300 million deal or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. And that's always a challenge. I mean, they fought that for years, trying to keep the channel open and deep, you know, from all the sediment moving down through. But
well, with the additional widening of the channel and all out there, then they will be able to bring in those larger container vessels that the mm-hmm. Panama Canal has redesigned their locks and all with, so that they can bring the larger ships through there.
Right.
So now we're going to be able to, you know, once they get this done, it'll probably take 4 or 5 years in order to dredge that.
Right.
But
right.
we'll be able to get those larger container ships in here as well.
Well, and that's you know, just huge, you know, to be able to get the larger containers in. You know, it's amazing what does come through the port already versus, you know, what's going to be coming through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you, it's... just a lot of positives happening in this town.
Well, it is unbelievable. You know, we still have the two ships that run in and out of here, out of the port now, that carry the railroad rail cars mm-hmm. down to Mexico and unload frozen chickens and things like that down there, and they bring back sugar,
right?
You know, from their not some cane sugar, then some of it's from something else there,
right?
But it's surprising they bring them within like 2,000-pound sacks.
Yeah,
big old canvas sacks that they handle with
a big sack.
With a lift truck.
Yeah.
So it is. You know, it. Most people don't even know that that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of growth. You know, I live out almost Mississippi. You know, and you know when I moved out there 16 years ago.
Oh my goodness!
There wasn't a whole lot around me.
No,
I mean everything was. I mean you had to go, you know, many miles before you got to anything. But it's growing up around me.
I went that way crazy. Saturday afternoon, Saturday night for a funeral out at Loosedale from one of my first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable, all the new stuff that's built up going out that way.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's all moving west because it has to.
No place else to go, man. It's got that water right there that just stops you from building those houses over there.
Exactly. Exactly. It looks like we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Sometimes she runs, sometimes she don't. More than what she's left me on the of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around on 4-ball tires. The wipers don't work and the horn don't blow. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. I've got 16 speakers crossing my back.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Yeah, we haven't heard from anybody other than Nick.
Yeah. I mean, I tested the... text system and
text machine is on.
Text machine is working.
Put the quarter in the slot. Did you?
Okay. I did. Dropped a dime on it. So yeah. But it's. We were talking earlier at work about the way our business is changing and where everything's headed nowadays towards a maintenance based quick service. You know, that part of our business used to be such a small piece of it, but it's a huge part of what we do now.
What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
It's just like the oil change, tire rotation, filter changes, that kind of stuff that everybody has to do with their vehicle. I mean, it was
that phase of maintenance.
Yeah, that part of the scheduled maintenance on your vehicle. Even though the manufacturers have eliminated a lot of and extended the life of a lot of the things that you used to have to do to your car.
Okay. I mean, used to everything was 30,000 miles or, 20,000 miles.
Yeah, 30,000 was a major service.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was plugs and wires and, all the filters and fluids.
When's the first one now?
Well, really?
50 or 100?
It depends on how you drive your vehicle, but, if you're one of those few that fall into the light maintenance or light duty service, about 100,000 miles is really the first major service. Yeah,
but we drive our vehicles a lot more now than we did in the past because we have everything is I can get there within 30 minutes or I can get there within an hour. And back in the day earlier, mm-hmm. with the type of roads and all that we had and the type of vehicles that we had, that might be a 2 hour or two and a half or 3 hour deal. So rather than doing that, you go get on a landline and talk about it, But now we just get the car right over there,
Yeah.
Who would think about going to Florida or Mississippi to buy lotto tickets, every week?
Exactly.
Are you saying maintenance and repair is a larger percentage of the total business?
Well, the maintenance is a larger percentage where the repair is actually falling off some. We don't do near as much major repair as we did at one time.
Because they last longer?
The cars last longer.
That says something
better.
About the product, too.
And it's people are driving them longer.
Yep.
So, it's and I don't know that it's longer, but they drive them farther while they have them. That's for
right.
sure.
That is so true.
Because it's not unusual for someone to put 25,000 miles a year or better on a car.
Sure.
It's not uncommon at all.
Well, don't you think a lot of fewer people are actually working on their own vehicles today, too?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody hardly ever works on their own stuff anymore. You can't. I mean, it's
you don't have the knowledge, don't have the tools, or the diagnostic stuff.
If you don't know how all these systems work, open the hood, check the oil and the water, leave the rest of it alone.
You better put the dipstick back in there tight. Too.
Assuming
right,
you got
everything
one.
Better be put back in like it's supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. Assuming you got a dipstick.
Right.
Well, that's true, too, guys. The guy was asking the other day, he says, Tom, let me ask you a question. I said, yeah. He said, I went to looking for the dipstick on this car for the fluid, transmission fluid. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. He says, there was no dipstick.
Right.
How am I supposed to check and see how much fluid's in it? I said,
you don't.
I said, there's this little bitty gauge on your dash that will light up and tell you if you've got a problem with your fluid.
Well, with the engine oil, that's true. But most of the transmissions don't have that. I mean, most of them.
Some of them do.
Some of them do, but a lot of them you have to actually get it up in there, get it to the right operating temperature, and actually pull out a sight plug.
In the side of the transmission,
and fill it till it dribbles out and let it level itself off. But you better do it when it's at the right temperature.
Really?
Because the fluid we're using nowadays is more thermal sensitive.
Yeah,
it expands more.
It's man-made. Yeah.
Yeah. So it expands more when it gets hot. So it may be low when you get it. If you check it cold, if you top it off there, when it gets hot, it's going to be too high. And believe it or not, that can actually make the transmission fluid temperature run too high.
What?
Yeah. It's just like within an engine.
Okay.
If you have the crankshaft sitting there whipping at the
oil. It froths the oil and puts beats it up like a milkshake.
Right. That actually raises the temperature in the oil.
Well, yeah, because you're putting the hot air into that oil, and the air will hold the temperature more than the oil will.
It won't cool as well.
It won't cool as quick.
I had one here. It's been about a year ago that kept setting a temperature over temp code in the transmission that a local transmission shop had done, and they had been into it a couple times and did this and that and the other. Went and drove it myself, and just here, you know, around the neighborhood, whatever, it did fine. But if you get out and you run it for a little while, and all of a sudden the temperatures start creeping up, brought it back to shop, got it down to the proper temperature, checked it, and it was about a quart and a half over full.
I'll be darned.
Leveled it out. No more problem. Yeah, so nothing was really wrong with it other than just had too much fluid in it. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You got to – that's why they don't want to dipstick in it. Yeah, they don't really even want to give you an indication as where to pour it.
If you're going to use the dipstick, in most occasions, you're going to do it cold.
Right.
And if you do it cold,
then
you may overfill the darn thing.
Right. And these things are so sensitive to the proper fluid. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now you got me off in a tangent here, thinking, what doesn't the same thing happen to our motor oil?
The same thing can happen to your motor oil.
All right. As the manufacturers, are they taking that into consideration on the mark on the dipstick? That it needs to be there when it's cold, or what?
Their biggest thing is shut it off and let it sit in a level condition for the oil doesn't expand as much. The transmission fluid is worse about that.
It's thinner.
But the key thing is check your oil. You got to let it sit about 10 or 15 minutes on a level surface to let everything drain back down.
That's true.
And then check your oil level.
Well, there. I like to check mine in the morning while it's still cold.
Yeah, and that works. That works. As long as it's sitting somewhere level. Or if you know when it's full, it reads this. If it's sitting here, then I'm good with that too. You know, but.
I was just wondering if we would have the same problems with our motor oil, but then thinking that our motor oil is like 10W30 or 20W30 or even 5W20.
Well, 0/20 is.
Or 0/20 is some of them now. Yeah. But then with the amount of detergent and all that is in the transmission fluid, that fluid doesn't act and react like the motor oil does.
Right.
Due to all of the detergents and all that it has in it, the cleaning proprieties that are in the oil.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just a different deal. And, you know, everything we have now is a full synthetic transmission fluid included. You know, it's best to leave it to somebody that knows what they're looking at and knows what temperature to get.
Well, I think that's why your maintenance figures are percentages are picking up too.
Right.
People are more and more deciding, nah, you know what? I'm going to take it to the dealer and let them check it.
Right. And, you know, and who honestly pulls their hood latch and checks their oil much anymore?
Not many people.
So for the car owner, their only job is to just drive the car and maybe be able to describe a problem if and when it shows up.
Remember to get your oil changed when you're supposed to. Yeah, that's an awful big problem.
Read your manual,
you know. And
I got to say, Kevin, that's not the most exciting book to read.
It's not.
It's very
riveting when you need to know something.
It has pictures. It has pictures, Charlie.
It's riveting when you try to find a piece of information, like, what does that symbol mean on my dash?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not where all the other symbols are in the book.
Mm-hmm. You know, it can be challenging to find stuff in there every now and then. You know, I find myself knowing that something's in there and go looking for it and can't find it.
Most of them have a quick guide section.
They do,
don't they?
They do, but that's not always as helpful as it should be. But you know, it is something that you know, you do need to be familiar with. At least know where it is and keep it in the car where it's supposed to be.
And like I said, be sure when you check the oil in your wife's car to make sure that the dipstick is pushed back all the way down in it, because some of those dipsticks have O-rings and all on them and tight fittings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let that thing suck air there, it will set off a light on the dash, and then she knows that you've been under the hood checking her oil.
Right, right. Yeah, you
she
get
will
in trouble.
Crucify you for it. I have a friend that is, she will not let him go with that.
Speaking of never forgetting, you know, you'll never hear the end of that
one. He said,
man,
there ain't no damn way. There ain't no way.
Yeah.
I said, brace the hood in the morning before she gets up. And I said, check your dipstick. And he called me and he said, hell yeah, I didn't push it all the way down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, okay, we'll push it all the way in and let it sit for a minute. I said, crank it up and let it run for a while. He said, the light went off. The light went off. I said, okay, you're out of the doghouse now.
Right. And you can actually sit there and with it running, pull the dipstick out just enough to break that seal. And you can hear the difference in the way the motor runs.
Yeah, you know, it's getting too much air.
Getting too much air. And it's pulling air from outside where it's not metered.
Right,
unmetered air is what they're talking about. And, you know, if it's not going in the motor through the mass airflow sensor, then it's not going to put fuel in accordingly. You know, so it's going to be lean. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They're very particular. They're very particular. I've seen something as small as the air filter box not be bolted down completely, you know, the where it seals the filter in.
Right.
It can actually suck air in it right there past the filter, you know, where it's not filtered. That is still going to be metered air going in the motor, but it disrupts the airflow across it enough to where it will not read properly and will cause issues. I've seen that several times. So they're particular, you know. So it better be right. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, it's like a road that you travel on when there's one day and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remke, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And speaking of calling in, we have a caller online. We have Wes with us. Wes, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what can we do for you?
I've got an 06 Buick Rendezvous with a V6 in it.
Uh-huh.
And I do all my own stuff on it. My question is, can I put a bigger oil filter on there? It's got one of those little small ones.
As long as it does not interfere, it shouldn't be a problem. But, you know, I guess my real question would be, why would you want to do that?
I put a lot of miles on it, and I thought it might get better filtering with a bigger filter.
Yeah. How far are you going between oil changes?
Five.
Yeah. I'd run what the manufacturer built it with, you know, and where I was going with that is, you know, if you were somebody that was trying to go 10,000-15,000 miles between oil changes and thinking you needed to filter more oil than that, one of the key things, if you felt like you had to filter and get that much more trash out of the oil, that tells me the oil's dirty. And it should have been changed way before it got to that point. So, but, you know.
Yeah.
If you're changing it every five.
I was surprised that an engine that size would have such a small filter on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine did too. But I put 250,000 miles on it and it never hurt it.
Right, right. They've got a pretty small filter on them, but it's not a problem. You know, trust me, if you're having to catch that much trash, that motor's not going long for this world anyway.
Right. Yeah. Does your oil still look pretty clear?
I appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you listening and calling in. But and that's an excellent question.
Thank you,
Wes. I mean, it's, you know, and if you don't know, you know, it's the filters are there, and they're great for picking up fine particles. But if it's filling up with debris,
right, something else is
something
wrong.
Something big's
something
going
wrong.
On.
Well, yeah. That brings up another Pandora's box here that I've been thinking about when we were talking before we went to the break, and that is that there's a lot of different filters on the market this day and time, and there's a lot of aftermarket stuff that everybody says is greater than, you know, than spilt milk or whatever, you know, or white on rice. But I'm hearing that has caused some problems in some vehicles.
Well, yeah, and we get bulletins and letters, newsletters that come out every once in a while, and they'll warn you to say, hey, if you don't use this particular filter, here's what can happen. And they'll show a filter that has unwound and stuck itself in through an oil passage and just totally clogged the motor up and started it for oil, and reminding people that not a GM filter, not a GM problem.
Right.
So you know, if it's not a warrantable repair at that point. So you got to be careful about what you use.
Well, what made me think about that, Kevin, was when you were talking about the air filter deals a while ago, and we have four or five different kinds of our thoughts and ideas on designs of air filters over the years. And we even have some that you spray oil on, and you can wash them and spray oil back on them and all. And then I've seen it, if you spray too much oil on it, it actually cuts the air off, airflow off. I would think that as tricky and as sophisticated as our computers are and the diagnostics that they're doing on themselves and reading the different air and amount of air, that you need to put whatever that factory recommends for that vehicle on it.
Right. And that is a big problem. And where we see more problems than any other is with these, you know, cotton element oiled air filters.
Okay. Yeah. Same words where I was going.
Right. And K&N is the well-known brand for that, but there's a bunch more out there. They're all using the same technology. It's a very simple filter. It's advertised as a 1,000,000-mile filter, which doesn't mean that you can stick it in there and forget it for 1,000,000 miles. No. It's you got to take it out, wash it, clean it, dry it, re-oil it, and put it back in. The problem there is you over-oil it just a little bit, and it restricts.
Right.
And the problem with our cars, and that's pretty much with any of the modern stuff, is that oil, no matter how proper you oil that filter, you're still bringing in fine particles of oil.
Sure, the molecules of that oil get into the air.
Right, with the airflow going over the mass airflow sensor, and it changes the characteristics of the sensor. All of a sudden you've coated that fine element.
Right. It's a little, looks like it's not even as thick as a piano diode. Wire. Yeah, it's a little bitty, as thin as your hair on your head.
Yeah, and it's it causes it to change its reading, which will throw all kinds of stuff off. You know, your fuel economy goes down, you may even have check engine lights come on, just all kind of weird things start happening. And if you check and change your filter, you know, like you should, which we do, we check them, you know, when we bring them in for a service at our place, when they get dirty, replace it.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, and we went through that with our race stuff years ago. Right. You know,
that's where I got involved with it, with the K&Ns and using the oil, because some occasions, properly controlled, it works.
Right.
Other occasions, it hurts you.
Well, you know, and I had the opportunity of working with one of our local engine builders at Professional Engine, who had a chassis dyno, and my car lived on the dyno.
Because
you know, I played with it all the time, trying to gain advantage over my competition.
Sure. That's where you learn things.
Exactly. And, you know, I was changing different shapes and designs of air filters. I mean, the filter housing,
right?
As well as the filter elements. You know, I spent the money, bought me a nice K&N filter, put it on there, lost horsepower.
Oh, like, Lord!
Like, something wrong here.
Yeah, a little erroneous advertising.
I just happened to have a paper element filter laying there that was in good shape that fit. Stuck it on there, actually gained horsepower over what I used to run. So the design of the housing was proper, but the element was too restrictive. Took and washed the K&N, got the oil out of it, put it back on dry, and it actually, you know, gained horsepower. So got to messing around, and Wix had actually come out, and that's what we run now.
Right.
Is a race filter that is a very, very free flowing paper element filter.
I used to use those too.
You know, and they don't last real long.
No, but you know, I'd rather replace them than I had a motor.
It, you know, worst case scenario, I got to put one on every couple weeks. I'm good.
So be it. Yeah. You know? What's $10?
Right.
For, you know, for 20 or 30 to $40,000 motor.
Right. And, you know, it was gaining horsepower. So, you know, it's.
That's what I'm going to run. Can I run two of them?
Yeah. If it's.
Will it give me an extra double?
If it's going to gain horsepower, I'm going to find a way to run it. So,
you know, don't you know?
I've played with all kind of weird things over the years.
Hey, that's the way you stayed out front, baby. Yeah.
When does car racing season start again?
Theoretically, in about a month.
Because we're going to daylight savings time this coming weekend, so it can't be too far away.
No. Pensacola, I think, starts up in the first of next month. Mobile, we have not heard. They're still debating on what who's going to do what, when, and where. Hopefully, they'll get some announcement coming out here shortly, and we can get going.
Is your car ready to run?
My car, I have touched it, so, but I can't say that it's anywhere near ready. You know,
he will do more than dust it off. I'll bet you.
Yes.
Well, I've got a lot of stuff I'm planning on changing for this year. We had a very fast car last year, won championship with it, and won more than half of the races that we entered.
That's cool.
But if you live by that, then and
you have to make changes. People improve.
People are working every day to catch you, so you got to stay ahead of them.
You got to do it yourself. Right.
But excuse me, it's time for us to go. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we'll be back next week.
And to all of our fine veterans out there, big hoorah.